The title of my message today is The Father of Light. This Father, our Father of Light. And we are continuing in the book of James. And James he was the brother of Jesus. He was an influential man in the original church, the mother church in Jerusalem. His work was so influential in making sure the gospel went to the Gentiles and to the Jews. And then I spoke about that persevering faith. But today I want to speak about from James 1:12-18. I'm going to read it. You can put it up there as well. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast in trial. One of my favorite preachers, Michael Eaton, you've heard me speak about him often, and he's a teacher, speaks about this dynamic, and we can understand, I suppose, in South African context of life being like test match rugby. And it's this rugby match when you wake up at this intense fight for God's ways over your own ways. And we know that we've won. We should know that we've won, but that doesn't look like sometimes we're winning in the moment. And sometimes we're stuck in the 22 and it's like we are just getting bombed and smacked. And God says, blessed is the man that stands. And what is this fight? What is the human fight? What is it all about? Our biggest problem is sin. That's the fight. Maybe that's just so simple. But that is our greatest issue. And human beings have been designed by God to be filled by God. And so sin is when we kind of miss the mark. It's like if you can think of a dart and a bullseye. When you're sitting, you've been designed by God to hit the bullseye because God is perfect. He's the Father of light. You hit the bullseye. That's how you've been designed. You've been designed incredibly. Human beings have been immaculately designed. And we've been designed to hit that bullseye. But what happens is those feathers. Who was talking about the feathers last week? I think someone was talking about, yeah, you were, hey, Albie, you were talking about the feathers and they've been damaged. And so what happens is we miss the mark, and we don't live the life that God made us to live. And so we have been designed by a creator God to be filled by God. And so sin is when we have these legitimate, deep needs as human beings. We've been created to need. But we've been created to need God. And so when we respond to those needs illegitimately, in other words, we seek to satisfy that deep need by doing something other than God's ways, that's sin. And as the scripture says, in the end, it leads to death. And you guys know this, but I'm going to say it again, because if we all really knew this, I don't think I would have experienced some of the things that I've seen even on leadership in the last number of years. But if you, as a child, You've been born to need the biological love. That's why the Timbaletu at the breast milk bank. I mean, the breast milk has been designed by God. Breast milk fed babies are healthy babies. They're more intelligent. Anna Katsoudis did her doctorate on the transmission of HIV from babies from mothers to child to prove that it actually was so low that we need to give these children breast milk, because breast milk has been designed by God. It's the best thing you can give to a child. And so we have these massive businesses that make a huge amount of money selling powdered milk, when God's gold, liquid gold, has been given. It's like, it's an example of sin. And so we have this, these orphan abandoned children who desperately need love. They need love. And this amazing Atembeletu, we have this conviction to send them to, that these kids wouldn't grow up in an orphan, in an institution, but they would be transitioned into families, because people, us, were born to be in a family. That's why last night was so significant, is as believers, there are so many of those guys that spoke last night. They were going nowhere. They had nothing. They were lost. And God placed them in a family, and they developed these incredible relationships for 20 to 30 years of deep love and connection with brothers, genuine brothers, that they could just celebrate. And so when that doesn't happen, when you're not put in family, when you haven't received the love and attention of a child that need the just the connection and the physical touch, what happens is you become damaged. That need needs to be fulfilled. So as you grow up, you start to seek that need. You need it. Your body has actually been designed to need it. Girls that haven't been protected by their father or loved by their father, their biological father, they will seek that love somewhere else. And no doubt that'll end up in an ungodly, sinful, illegitimate satisfaction of a very legitimate need. If you've been abandoned as a child, your relationships will be, unless God breaks in, your relationships can often, the dynamics in any kind of intimate relationship will be challenging, because every time that person might go away, you'll respond in a way that actually chases people away from you, and it'll land up being destructive. This is what sin does to us. It ultimately causes all kinds of death. And we need to deal with sin. And we deal with that by giving our lives wholly to Jesus, to the Father of light. And how do we do this? How do we do it? And God says we do it by faith. You do it by faith. What does that mean, I do it by faith? What is faith? The Bible says faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Why has God chosen faith as the way for us to be satisfied by Him and sin? Why? Because He defines Himself by love. And you see, what faith demands is that we put in ourselves in a position where we don't have control. It's being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. If we put blindfolds over all of us now, suddenly you can't see where you're going. It gets highly disturbing for yourself. The Israelites needed, why did they want the golden calf? They couldn't see Moses. Moses was gone. I need to see God. I want a golden calf so I can see, so I can have some sense of control. Love is, when we know, and no one wants to be controlled. If you're in a relationship where you feel controlled all the time, that is not love. There's no trust in control. I need to control every moment, every cent you spend. I need, tell me always where you're going. Basically, what you're saying is I don't trust you. And so why God loves faith, why God decided to create a dynamic of faith, is because it magnifies love. It takes what He most is and it explodes it into something so much bigger, and it makes it so real. When your wife in a marriage situation is going through a hard time, that's why we make the vows, in sickness and in health, I will love you. Why do we stand before God and people and say that? Because you don't feel like doing it at the time when you're in sickness and in health. When your husband has gone through financial ruin. When your wife is a dripping tap for a season, or is just sick for a season. You don't feel like loving somebody like that. But by faith, I don't look at what I'm seeing, I look at what I don't see. I see her as God sees her. And I love her through her pain to wholeness. And that is powerful. When your friend backstabs you, your school friend, your university friend, who you've confided in, goes and speaks about and tells somebody else, and you absolutely are devastated by the betrayal, you can respond in faith by loving and forgiving that person and giving them a second chance. But you don't do that in the natural ability. You do that by faith. And that is a high level of love. And God ultimately says that we love our enemies. And that's all great. I can talk about this. This is faith. So we're in a war. Sin is our greatest problem. He says we overcome by faith. But you'll still say, that can be a theory. That's all great, Mark. And see, in the book of James, they say, don't just talk about it. Do it. The book of James, amazing. It's so practical. We can talk about it all we want, but you have to do it. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by thinking that without doing something, it's not going to happen. See, God has designed this life that we step out the boat. Peter only experienced supernatural power when he stepped out the boat. He could have thought about it. He said, I'm going to trust God. I can see Jesus. Yes, it's all great. I'm going to live by faith. He can preach it, but he had to do it. He had to step out. And so I want to say to us today that I will guarantee you that Jesus will prove himself to you if you will step out, but he's not if you don't. You know, Heidi Baker, she is one of the heroes of the faith in our day. And she said she felt called. She felt God say that if you want to understand his kingdom, if you want to understand my kingdom, you need to go and live with the poorest children in Mozambique. And she left her husband in America, and she comes from affluence. And she literally went and sat on the streets of Mozambique with the street children. And as she sat on the children, she started to learn what the kingdom was. You can think about it in America, but it's being on the street. It's engaging with those young children that you start to experience the kingdom. And what happens is when God sees that, his supernatural, he looks and he waits, and his supernatural power starts to get released. His grace starts to get released. Signs and wonders follow the preaching of the gospel, but you must preach it. And that means you need to do something. You know, I watched this parable unfold in the last 2 weeks, watching one of my sons play rugby in two different games. And one game where I could just see he was not really engaging in the physicality that game demanded. Understandably. Bigger guys, he's quite small. Compared, totally understandable. And a week later, and maybe it was because some friends of ours were watching him play, but suddenly he engaged, and he took the hit, and he took the hit again, and he took the hit again. And I watched him step off that field 3 foot higher. And I don't want to get into the debate about rugby because I had my computer engineering stats guy on the line to me on the way to watch the game telling me the stats on rugby, and I said, please don't tell me them. But you know, there's just something when we put our body on the line. And the point is this, is he, and one week he backed off, on the next week he didn't. He engaged. And it's like he just stepped up a couple of notches. And I feel that that's what God will do, you know. If we will just, this is not a thing, if we will just go and engage. Go and engage those people that need to hear the gospel. Go and you know where it's at. I don't know what your situation, whatever your situation is. Living by faith, it means that we've got to do something. And if you still, at this point, are struggling to rustle up that faith, I want to kind of remind us that we serve a Father of light. And in Him is no darkness at all. I think it's so hard to even really get to grips with absolute purity. Absolute righteousness, absolute justice, not a shadow in Him. And I want to say this to us today. And many of us have been saved many years, but that doesn't actually matter. When we go to the men's camp now, we're going to talk about this again. But you, if you say to me today that you can't see God, I'm going to say it's because you haven't brought everything into the light. We can play church very well. We can say all the right things. We can put on our masks. I'm telling you, He's a Father of light. If you bring everything into the light, you will see God. In John 3:18-21, it says, "There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him, but anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And all who did evil hate the light and refused to go near it for fear that their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants." I think what I so love about Christianity is God's not afraid to put Himself on the line. He says, "You can test me. You can test me with finances. Give. You can test me with that. But I can say this as well. I have so much confidence, say this, if you will bring everything into the light, if you will take Him seriously, you will meet with Him. You will meet with Him. You will come back and say, I've met with the living God." And I think sometimes when people think about God being so pure and so light, like full of light and so holy, they think, well, how can this pure and holy God allow bad things to happen? How can He allow these riots and this COVID and this floods? But you know, when God set up this planet, it wasn't, He set up a love story. This is not any, this is the greatest love story. And it's about, and foundational to love is a choice. And He's given all of us this choice. And the reason we're living in the world we're living in today is because people have chosen, have been made bad choices. You are where you are today because of the choices you've made. People make bad choices, and Satan continues to affect his will in this world through his agents, people who refuse to come into light. And that's why stuff like happened to you happened. That's why stuff is going crazy all over. But God has intervened. He intervened in Adam's life, in the Old Testament, through all the types of Christ. He intervened and said, I have made a way for you to find healing now. He intervened with his son Jesus, and he said, I have come and I've met with you, and there is grace and there's forgiveness and there is healing now. But can I say this? Even if the worst thing that can happen, and I say it in inverted commas because it's the worst thing for an unsaved person, but it's the best for us, if we die, we are healed for eternity. As Paul said, it's better that I go, but for your sake I stay. And so we have this one opportunity to commit to the Father of life, light and life, to be crowned by life. He crowns us with life. He puts his Holy Spirit inside of us so that, like that party last night, wherever we go with his Spirit, we can bring his kingdom and bring redemption with whatever we do. The reason we do Citadel is because we are using our hands to bring redemption to every single part of life. It's saying, it's covertly saying that your skill is important. Knox also gave me a foot massage. When Knox massages feet, she can be praying and interceding for every single person that she's washing the feet and massaging her feet. And if God might give her a word, and she can be ministering every day through her gift. We are all ministers, and you all have gifts. And the Father of Light has put himself in you, as he's put himself in Elizabeth, and he's put himself in every single one of you, to become a first fruit. That scripture says we are first fruits. And you become an agent of change. You become a disciple that God wants to boast about to the world. Like a father, for the visitors, it's maybe awkward as a visitor coming in to be highlighted, but God loves to highlight his children. I'm a dad who loves to put my children, I want to celebrate my own children because I love them so much, and he does that for each of us. And you have been blessed by this Father of Light who says, God is so much more passionate about you being a blessing to this world so that he can bless. So he will bless you more so that you can be a blessing. That's the Abraham covenant. Look at the Jewish nation today. They are still a blessing to the world, giving more patents per square capita, even without a real understanding of the gospel. But because they actually believe that they've been blessed to be a blessing. You, every single one of you, have been blessed to be a blessing. You've been blessed to bring the kingdom of light, to introduce people to the Father of Light. But I want to say to you guys that apostolic adventure where your throat is in your heart is in your throat every morning is not going to happen until you bring everything into the light. And when you do, you'll experience his grace, and then that grace you can give and you can share to others and bring them in into his kingdom, into his family, into this beautiful family with deep connections that keep people safe. Amen.